المسيح. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا سيدنا ومولانا أبا القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
The subject is شيطان and how he misguides mankind. And the reason we are discussing this subject is because in order to obey Allah, in order to be on Sirat al-Mustaqim, we need to obey Allah and serve Allah and worship Him. And not just that we have to worship Him, before we serve Him, we have to reject Shaitan. We have to disobey Shaitan. And so, when we want to reach Allah, first we have to go through disobeying Shaitan. We have to say La Ilaha before we say Inna Allah. Before we can establish Allah in our lives, we have to reject Shaitan. And if we don't know how Shaitan misguides us, if we don't know how he deceives us, then there's no way that we can reach Allah. He will give us the idea that we are obeying Allah, and many of us think that we are practicing Islam and we are submitting to Allah. But you see that a lot of times we will know that we haven't served Allah, we haven't practiced Islam after we die. So first of all, we need to know the tools and the ways in which Shaitan misguides mankind. So before we get into that, we need to know about Shaitan himself. Because we see that most of the times we are misguided because of Shaitan's insinuations. Shaitan misguides us, and we have a tendency to blame him for every misguidance. Every time we do something wrong, we just blame it on Shaitan and says it's his fault. He misguided me. And Allah says that in the Quran also, that on the day of judgment, when people will be raised and they will be answerable for their misguidance, they will say that it is Shaitan who misguided me. It is Shaitan who misguided me. So it shows that they will blame Shaitan for it. And we know that Shaitan is, his job is to misguide people. So if Shaitan is there to misguide people, and Allah wants to guide people, Allah wants to get them on the right path, then would it be right, or would it be better, if Allah had not created Shaitan? If Allah didn't make Shaitan, we wouldn't have this problem. We would all be good. We would all be like, well, this is good, you know, if he wasn't here. If Shaitan wasn't there, we would all be happy. So the question is, why did Allah create Shaitan? Why did Allah make him? That's the first understanding we need to have. So just an easy answer I will give for my kids over here so that they understand also. if all the kids are here, they're paying attention, so they will understand this example of send me salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Why did Allah create shaitan? The answer is, Allah did not create shaitan. Allah did not create shaitan. He did not make shaitan. Allah made a jinn who became shaitan. Understand the difference. He didn't create shaitan. He didn't create a being to misguide people. He created a jinn. And Allah says the purpose of the creation of jinn is what? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I did not create the jinn or insan except that they worship me, that they serve me. So the purpose of the creation of jinn and insan was to serve Allah, was to worship Allah. So this Iblis was created as a jinn. He was created to worship Allah. He became a jinn. He became shaitan. He became shaitan. For example, you know, we use this term a lot in languages that we have, Urdu or Farsi, and you know this. They say that, you know, whenever a kid, you know, you see he's a brat. When you see a kid in the masjid, you know, he's a brat, he doesn't listen, makes noise, doesn't do anything right. You know, so you call him shaitun. Right? You call him shaitun, you know, he's shaitan. Look at it, he's shaitan. He doesn't listen, he does all these things wrong. So now, for example, if I go to the father of this child and I tell him, hey, listen, why did he give birth to a shaitan? If I tell the father, why did he give birth to a shaitan? I didn't give birth to a shaitan. I gave birth to a boy and I wanted to be saleh and mu'min, he became shaitan. You see, it's not his fault. He didn't. His intention wasn't to give birth to shaitan. His intention was to give birth to someone who's mu'min, someone who's saleh, someone who's righteous. But he went on to become shaitan. That's a whole different thing. It's not his fault for giving birth to that. Just like that, Allah created a jinn. He created a jinn to serve him, but that jinn became shaitan. So Allah did not create shaitan, that Iblis became shaitan on his own accord. So this is why Allah did not create him for that reason. But then we can say that Allah, alright, you didn't create him to be shaitan, you created him to be a jinn, to worship you, to serve you, all that is good. But the question is, if you knew that he has gone astray, if you knew that he is not going to listen to you, if you knew that he's going to misguide everyone, the question is, why did you let him live? Why did you let him live for? You should have killed him. It's easy for you. Kun fayakun. Just say kun and he'll be gone. You know, you don't need to do much. I mean, if we have to kill someone, we have to actually do something. To take your life, we need to do something. For you, it's like kun. Just say kun, he'll be gone. So why did you let him live? You know that he's going to misguide people. You know that he's going to be in front of mu'mineen and make their life harder for them. Why did you let shaitan live? You see, this is the question to be asked. And I want to answer that today. My friends, I want you to understand that Allah let shaitan live, and his existence, shaitan's living, shaitan being alive, is not just okay, but it is good for the religion, and it is necessary for those who want to be mu'min. Shaitan's existence is a blessing for us. Blessing for Islam. So many things we learn because of shaitan. So many things we prove because of shaitan. And I want you to see what a blessing shaitan's life is to us. For Islam. For Allah's deen. Then understand why Allah kept it alive. He kept shaitan alive. His life is a blessing for us. It is a blessing. If it wasn't for him, there are so many things in our ideology that we would know, that we wouldn't be able to prove. I want you to know this, and let me give you five of those examples. Five benefits of Shaitan's existence. Let's speak about that today. Five benefits for Shaitan being alive. Send me a salawat. You know, Shaitan, he came to misguide people. He wants to misguide people. He wants to take people away from Islam. And Allah sent Anbiya and Prophets to guide the people. All the Anbiya, from Adam to Khatam, all of them, they came to guide people, to bring people to Islam. And Anbiya, the Prophets, the Messengers, when they were inviting people to Islam, they were giving their proofs. Whatever proofs they were giving their proofs. And Shaitan, when he's misguiding the people, he's also giving proofs also. Why you should go away from Islam. And in their proofs, there's one proof that Shaitan has that the Prophets don't have. I want you to notice. There's one proof that Shaitan has, one hujjah that Shaitan has that the Anbiya do not have. Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim, Ismail, Musa, Isa, all these prophets that were there. You can leave our messenger aside since we believe that أَوَّلُ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ نُورِ, the first thing Allah created was the Nur of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But other than that, everyone else, they gave their proof that listen, Allah is Haq, Allah is right, Allah is this, this is the proof we have. They all had their proofs. Shaitan is also giving their proofs. But there's one proof that Shaitan has that the Anbiya do not have an answer to. There's one argument that he gives that none of these prophets have an argument against that. And that is, you see, Shaitan, when all of them are giving their argument, all the Anbiya are giving their argument, Shaitan tells everyone that, listen, no matter what they say, always remember this, that I am older than they are. I'm older than they are. Who's older, me or them? Who are you going to listen to? I'm the elder. I was born before Adam was created. I was there. So who are you going to listen to, me or them? Who are they? They were born in front of me. I saw them in diapers. I saw them in diapers, literally. That's what Shaitan is saying. I saw them in diapers. Now tell me, who are you going to listen to? I'm the older one. Would you listen to me? Or are you going to listen to them? Now tell me, which Muslim would agree to this argument? Yes, you know what? Shaitan is right. He's older than they are. And we should listen to the oldest person. Who's older? Tell me, is Adam older or Shaitan older? Is Musa older or Shaitan older? Shaitan is older than everyone. So when he's saying that, listen, you should listen to your elders. You should listen to someone who's older. So now tell me, would any Muslim agree that yes, we should listen to Shaitan because he's older? No. If you agree to that, then you cease being a Muslim. You cease being a Muslim. Why? Because you will believe in Shaitan. My friend, understand this. Shaitan is giving that argument and everyone is rejecting that argument. You see, by rejecting that argument, Shaitan's older age and Shaitan's existence is proving that age has nothing to do with the truth. Age has nothing to do with the truth. If you're older, it doesn't matter. If you're right, that's what matters. Shaitan is the best proof of that. Because if you say that we need to listen to those who are older, Then first listen to Shaitan, because he is giving that argument before anyone else is giving that argument. So if you come and say that no, we don't accept. If you come and say we don't accept Ali because he's younger, we accept the other Khalifa because he's older. Then if you accept the other Khalifa just because he's older, then accept Shaitan also because he's older than all the Anbiya. That argument is destroyed by Shaitan. Anyone who says that I am older, that's why you should listen to me. The first thing that Shaitan is teaching us is that age has nothing to do with the truth. My friends, understand what he is teaching us. His wujud, his existence is teaching us that. Shaitan is letting us know that. If it wasn't for him, we would have to prove that. Listen, he's older. Listen to your elders. And we have that. You'll see that. A lot of times, a younger person would be saying haq. He would be saying the right thing. He would be saying the right thing. And the elder, whoever it is, the father or the uncle or whoever, will say, shut up. You shouldn't talk in front of your elders. I'm your elder, listen to me. I'm your elder, listen to me. The guy was right. He might be 10 years old, but he's right. You see, we are used to thinking the way Shaitan is thinking, that I'm older, you should listen to me. Islam doesn't agree with this. Allah says no. It doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young. If you're saying haq and if you're saying the truth, that's what matters. If you say it as an older person, you will be accepted. If you say it as an infant, you will be accepted. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The truth doesn't matter who it comes out to. If a child says truth, then we accept it, that he's right. If an older person says the truth, we'll accept it. We don't accept people just because they're older. If we accept that, then we need to accept Shaitan over the Anbiya. That yes, Shaitan is right, Anbiya are not. You see, the first benefit of Shaitan is that he has proven that age has nothing to do with haq. Haq is different, age is different. Where haq is, that's where we go. We don't care whether it's from an older person or a younger person. We are those who are obeying the truth, the haq, not those who are obeying older people and older age. You see, the first thing Shaitan has taught us, his benefit. Now the second benefit, friends, you know, everything that is created, everything that is alive, has a certain life. Everything that has a life, you know, and everything has an expiration date. Everyone who's made has a time of death, and they die. They live for 50, 60 years, and they die. Whether it's animals, whether it's human beings, everyone. If you're going to live, you know you're going to die. Someday you're going to die. Why? You're going to die. And everything is there, has an expiration date. Now some people have a longer expiration date than others. When we are born, we come with an expiration date. Expiring this day. Unfortunately, we don't know what day it is. But there is a date we come with. Right? We are born with that. And you know, like for example, Nuh, Prophet Nuh had a long one. Over 1,000 years he lived. You know, and I was saying the other day, you know, that long life really at times is not a blessing. In fact, it's a curse. Long life a lot of times is a curse. Really, if you look at it, you'll see. Those who live really long, 100 years old, 110 years old, you'll see. The longer you live, the more lonelier you get. Because everyone that you know is dead. Everyone that you cared for is dead. Your children are dead, your friends are dead, everyone is dead. Who do you live with? What's the worth of living then? And we see a lot of people, you know, who run every day from death. Yeah, I know people and death is going to come to them. They don't understand they're running away from death. If you want to go and see, go in the gym and you'll see everyone running away from death on treadmills. Right? But you see, death is going to come to them one day or the other. Right? I mean, death is something that comes to everyone. So now when you know you're going to die, and everyone dies, right? Everyone has a time of death. So now, this shaitan, he is unique. When shaitan misguides us, for example, he comes and let's say misguides you. And he makes you do something that you regret later. He says, man, I shouldn't have done that. He says, yeah, it's wrong. Why did you do it? Shaitan made me do it. What? Shaitan made you do it? Yes, he made me do it. What are you talking about? Shaitan made you do it. He said, yeah, shaitan made me do it. He said, but you know what you're saying? I mean, shaitan, I mean, you think he's still around? Yes, he's still around. We all know that, I mean, he's a friend, right? Everyone knows shaitan. Right? He's still around. There's no need to prove that. He's still around, but what are you talking about? I mean, it's been thousands of years. I mean, everything dies. And you're saying shaitan is still alive? He said, yeah, he's still alive. You mean he has this extra long life? Thousands of years. And he's still alive. And Allah did not give him death yet. No, shaitan is still alive. Like I say, no. You know what? I can't believe. Shaitan is dead long time ago. So what are you talking about? Shaitan is still there. He's still misguided. Friends, understand this. So you're saying shaitan is alive for thousands of years and he's not dead yet. Yes? And what does he do? He misguides people. Hold on, 1 minute. Let me try to think what you're saying here. Let me put this in perspective. Sit me salaam. To put this in perspective here. You're saying that shaitan has been alive for thousands of years, maybe 10,000 years or more than that. I mean, it says that he lived 6,000 years before Adam. And after Adam, till now, maybe it's 10,000, 12,000 years. And you're talking about a life of 20,000 years here. You're saying that shaitan is not dead, he's alive for 20,000 years. And what's his job? He's misguiding people. So Allah has kept him alive for thousands of years, 20,000 years, to misguide people. He says, yes. Now, is there any Muslim, Shia or Sunni, who denies that? Anyone who says no, he's dead. Anyone who says he's dead? No. All Muslims say yes, he's alive. And everyone knows he's alive for thousands of years. And Allah has kept him alive for 20,000 years. And he has kept it alive to misguide people. So we all accept that in shaitan. Yes, we all do. So my only question is this. If Allah can keep alive shaitan for 20,000 years to misguide the people, then what problem do you have with Imam Mahdi, who's alive for 1,200 years to guide the people? Shaitan. If you disagree with shaitan, then we will disagree with Imam Mahdi. But if you agree that shaitan is alive for 20,000 years and not dead yet to misguide the people, then what's wrong with you? If Allah kept our Imam alive for 1,200 years to guide the people, what's wrong with that? Is he the best proof for the Imam's life is shaitan's life? That is the best proof. You don't need to go far, oh, Imam is alive for 1,200 years, he was born then, this, that. You don't need to do anything. If Allah can keep shaitan alive for 20,000 years, can't he keep the Imam alive for 1,200 years? You see, shaitan is the best proof for the Imam's life. Shaitan's existence is the best proof for the Imam's life. You understand that? This is how it works, my friend. This is the benefit of shaitan's existence. If shaitan wasn't alive, then you go to mathematics and algebra and all that and try to prove Imam is still alive. But because of shaitan being alive, you don't need to give any hadith or any ayat. Shaitan is enough of a proof that Imam is alive and there's no problem with his life. You shouldn't have any problem with his life. Allah kept him alive. You see, this is why shaitan's life is a benefit. This is the second one I gave. Now they give you a third one. Third benefit of shaitan. Right? Now Shaitan comes to you and misguides you. He misguides you. And you say, shucks, Shaitan misguided me. Alright. What do you mean Shaitan misguided you? Yeah, misguided me. When? Just now. I didn't see him. Where did he come from? Where did he go? Did you see him? No, I didn't see him. What are you trying to say? Shaitan misguided me. But I said, you can't see Shaitan. Yeah, of course not. You can't see Shaitan. Of course you can't see Shaitan. He's hidden from us. Oh, he's hidden. Right? So you're saying that Allah has kept Shaitan alive and you can't see him, but he can misguide you. My friends, understand this. Shaitan is someone you cannot see, but we all agree that he misguides. And you still can't see him. I say, yes. Well, if that's the case, then if I say that my imam is in ghaiba, then you can't see him, and still he guides the people, what's wrong with that? If you agree that Shaitan cannot be seen and he's misguiding people, then also agree that Imam Mahdi is alive and he cannot be seen and he's guiding the people. If Allah can keep alive Shaitan in such a state that you can't see him, he's also in ghaiba. He's also in hiding. He's also unseen. And he's still misguiding people. So the Imam can also guide the people and not be seen by the people. You see that? If you want to prove Imam's ghaiba, you don't have to go to ayat and hadith. All you need to do is go to Shaitan and prove that Shaitan is ghaib and he is still guiding the people. He's still misguiding the people. Just prove that, and that's enough. And every Muslim agrees, Shaitan is ghaib and he's misguiding the people. If he's ghaib and misguiding the people, then Imam can be ghaib and guide the people. You see, the best proof of Imam's ghaibah is the Shaitan's wujud. The wujud of Shaitan, the existence of Shaitan. If it wasn't for him, you know, it would be hard to prove the Imam is ghaib and guides the people. But Shaitan has proved it for us. You see, my friend, this is the benefits of Shaitan's existence. Now the fourth one. Send me a salawat. You know, if there was an election today, right? If there was a worldwide election today, you know, between Allah's party and Shaitan's party. You know, between Allah's party and Shaitan's party. And Allah is on the ballot and Shaitan's on the ballot. Who do you think will win? You know, if you want to do a head count, who has more followers? Who has more followers? Allah or Shaitan? You know, I don't want you to go and count. You don't need to count because Allah already declared the result. In the Quran, Allah declared the result. Allah says, if there's an election between me and Shaitan, I admit that I will lose, Shaitan will win. أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He said, the majority do not believe. Allah has already declared. He has already declared the winner. The winner is Shaitan. Allah has already declared it in the Quran that if you want to see who has more followers, then Shaitan has more followers than I do. Most people don't believe in me. Most people believe in Shaitan. Few are those who believe in me. So Allah's followers are less. Shaitan's followers are more. Allah has declared it. Every Muslim has to believe in it. Right? We all have to believe in it. That the majority is with Shaitan. So now, okay. As a Muslim, do we believe in that? Yes. So Allah's followers are less, Shaitan's followers are more. Yes. Okay. If you agree with this, friends, if you agree with this, this is Shaitan's existence that's making us believe this. Allah is saying, Shaitan has more followers. If Shaitan has more followers, so Shaitan is saying that, listen, his argument against everyone else is, listen, the majority is with me. Allah only has a few followers. I have the majority. That is Shaitan's argument. So if any Muslim says that we are right because we are the majority, because we have more followers, then if we accept their argument and say, yes, because you are the majority, you are right, then first we must accept Shaitan's majority and say that Shaitan is right. Isn't that right? Because Shaitan has more followers. If any Muslim comes to you and says, listen, we are the majority, you should follow us. We say, wait a minute, before we accept your majority, we need to accept Shaitan's majority. We need to accept that Shaitan has the majority. Do you accept that? Do you accept the fact that Shaitan has majority and he's right? He said, no, we can't accept that. Well, if you can't accept it there, you can't accept it here also. In other words, truth and haq has nothing to do with majority or minority. If you want to say that majority means truth, then accept the truth that Shaitan has. Because if Shaitan has most of the followers, Allah has a few followers, accept the majority there, then we will accept your majority as the truth. The very fact that Shaitan, this is Shaitan's existence, that has proven to us that you can be on the majority and you're still wrong. Because Shaitan's followers are more and they're still wrong. In other words, Allah has shown us through Shaitan that majority doesn't mean truth and has nothing to do with the truth. Truth is something else, majority is something else. This is what we understand from Shaitan. You don't need to go to ayat and hadith to prove that majority has nothing to do with the truth. Prove that Shaitan has the majority. If you believe that, we will believe you being the truth. But if you reject that, then reject this fact also and come with another argument. Because the argument of majority doesn't work, because Shaitan's existence has disproved it. Shaitan has disproved the argument. You see, this is the benefit of Shaitan's wujud. The fourth benefit I gave. Now one more I'll give you today. Benefit of Shaitan. Him being alive, how many things in our deen he is proving. That we don't need to prove because he is proving it himself. And Allah kept them alive so that deen can easily be understood through his existence. This is Shaitan's wujud. Now, one more I'll give you. Shaitan, you know, Allah had asked everyone to make sajda. Shaitan said, no, he didn't make sajda. So Allah kicked him out. Get out of my court, out of heaven, out. Shaitan said, all right, you know what, I'm leaving. I'm leaving, but you know, how about some walking money, you know? Give me something to go. You know, when you leave jail, you know, then you give some money, okay, you know, here's your walking money, bus money, bring it right here, to wherever you want to go. Give me some walking money. Allah says, what? What do we owe you for? What do we owe you for? Why do we need to pay you something? You know, why do we need to pay you something? You know, we don't need to pay you anything. He says, Ya Allah, you know, 6,000 years I worship you. You know, 6,000 years of sajda, 6,000 years of ibadah, 6,000 years of ruku. That's a lot of backbreaking. I imagine that we hardly worship Allah for 6 years and we are tired. This guy has worshipped Allah for 6,000 years. So he's saying, Allah, that 6,000 years of worship, I think I deserve something in return. All that work I did, give me something in return for all that. I said, oh, you want money? You want something in return for your worship? For your ibadah? Yes. That's all right. Go ahead, ask me. Friends, understand this, what Shaitan is doing. This is the fifth thing that Shaitan is teaching us. And this is very important for us if we are mu'min, if we are Muslim, and if we obey Allah and worship Allah. Listen to it very carefully and you'll know this. Ya Allah, anzirni ila yawmi yub'athun. Allah says, what do you want? But really, at that point, he could have asked Allah for anything. He could have asked Allah that Allah, I want you to do istighfar. He could have said, Astaghfirullah. Do you think Allah will reject it? Or not? Allah is giving him the opportunity to ask. Whatever he will ask, Allah will give him that. He will give him that. If he asked for Jannah, Allah would have given him Jannah. Allah is the generous God. He is the one who gives. And he is giving him the chance. No one in history has been given the chance that Shaitan has been given. If Allah gave us that chance, ask me anything and I will give it to you. Can you imagine? We would be like, Allah, give me a place in Jannah. That's all I want. Give me a place near you. Allah would give us. He's not like us. For example, we tell our child, son, it's your birthday, it's Eid. Whatever you want, say it. He says, I want Xbox 360. Except for that. It's too expensive. That's us. We can't afford it. But this is Allah. He can afford it. He can give him whatever he wants. Right? Allah can give him whatever he wants. And here Shaitan, he's saying, you know, that all the chances he had to ask, what did he ask for? Anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. Allah, give me a long life. Long life? For 6,000 years of ibadah, you're asking for a long life? That's it? Is that it? That's all you want? Long life? Friends, in the coming al mundari, okay, you get a long life. This is the situation. Now I want you to understand what this means. Send me Allah for us. My friends, understand this. Shaitan worshipped Allah. He worshipped Allah. He made sajda to Allah. He made ruku to Allah. He prayed. But then when the time came to ask something in return for his ibadah, for his worship, then Shaitan asked for dunya. He asked for a long life. He asked for dunya. That Allah give me a long life. Where is dunya? Friends, Shaitan just explained. See, Shaitan also worships Allah. Shaitan worships Allah. In fact, he worships Allah more than mu'minin do. There's more prayers he does than mu'minin do. If you want to know, you know, you can go to Hajj and see. You know, Medina and Makkah and Riyadh and, you know, those places, you see Shaitan worshiping so much. Shaitan, praise Allah. He worships Allah. You go there, you see that. He also prays. He also worships. He also worships. But he has taught us the difference between Shaitan's worship and a believer's worship. Shaitan's worship, when he prays to God, when he prays to Allah, his worship is that you pray to Allah, and when you want something in return for your prayers, you want the dunya for it. Seek it in dunya, seek it in this world. In this world, seek it here. Give me a long life, give me wealth, give me a car, give me a house. This is Shaitan's worship. Now, let's translate that into our life. You'll see many of us, and I've seen that also, a lot of times in the masjid, you see in the masjid, we are there all the time, we know, we are the Maulana. So we are there all the time in the masjid, so we know who comes and who comes for what. You know, now whenever you see, you know, I mean, usually you know that masjids back home, you'll know this, right? Back home you'll see it was the case for a long time, that masjids were the place for two groups of people. Masjids were the place for two groups of people. You see two groups of people there. The retired and the unemployed. Right? Only two groups of people used to come to the masjid. The retired people or the unemployed people. Right? The retired people, they come because they have no choice. The unemployed, they come because they need a job. So, when the unemployed come, so they pray. And you see them praying all the time. And 1 month, 2 months, 3 months go by, you say, Maulana, what can I do? I pray so much, still there's no job. And brother, what are you praying for? Are you praying for Allah or are you praying for a job? See, understand this. They are worshiping Allah, but the return of their worship, what they want in return is a job, is dunya. You see, Shaitan did the same thing. He worshipped Allah, and the reward he wanted was a long life. He wanted a long life. And you see, a lot of people, they worship Allah, they pray to Allah, and they say, Maulana, we are still 3 months, 4 months, we prayed and prayed and prayed, and still we are sick. Still the sickness is not going. Are you praying for your sickness, or are you praying for Allah? When you make your niyat and you pray, at the time you pray, what niyat do you make? Oh Allah, I'm making, for example, dhuhr in order to get rid of my sickness. What niyat do you make? He said, I'm making dhuhr qurbatan ila Allah, to seek nearness to you. That's why I'm praying. You see, Shaitan's prayer is that when you pray to Allah, you seek something in dunya, in this world. Seek a worldly reward for it. But a believer's worship is different. A believer doesn't worship Allah to seek reward in dunya. He worships Allah to seek reward in the hereafter. That Allah, I worship you not in dunya, but for the hereafter. Now let me explain this more if you send me a lot of salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
My friends, you know, understand the work of worship. When you worship Allah, when you worship God, what is the value of that worship? You see, the value of the worship is very important to understand. You know, what is the value? When you, for example, if you have a house, and you want to sell that house, so there's a fair market value for your house, whatever, 100,000, whatever it is. But if I say that, listen, I want to sell my house for 1 dozen bananas, then of course you'll get many buyers to buy it. There'll be a line of people with a dozen bananas ready to buy your house. Because you're selling it short, I mean, you're selling it too cheap. Means you have no value for your house. The only reason you do that is because if you have a divorce going on and you want to get back at your wife, so you sell your house for 3 dozen bananas. So she gets 6 bananas and you get 6. Right? That's the only reason you sell a house for that price. Right? Otherwise you wouldn't sell it. The house is worth more than that. It's worth more than that. Allah wants us to recognize the value of obeying Him, of making prostration before Him. He's saying that, listen, you don't think I want to reward you, I want to give you something in return, but you know, there's nothing in this dunya that is of value that can be a replacement for the worship you have done. There's nothing in this dunya that's worth it. You think that I can give you something from dunya? Nothing is there that's worth your worship. That's why when you worship and ask for reward in dunya, I'm looking at you and saying, don't you recognize the value of your worship? I want to give you more than that. But there's nothing here I can give you. I want to give you when you reach me in the hereafter. Then I will truly reward you for your obedience. That's when I'll truly reward you for your obedience. That's why Shaitan's worship is that worship that asks for exchange in dunya. Believer's worship is that worship that asks for exchange in the hereafter. But now, there's a higher form of worship that Ahlul Bayt have shown us. Ahlul Bayt have shown us that, listen, when we worship Allah, there's a difference between us and you. You might want heaven in return for your worship. For us, heaven is not the reward. We don't worship Allah for heaven. We worship Allah not because of heaven. We worship Allah because Allah is worthy of worship. He is worthy of obedience. That's why Ali said, I don't worship Allah for the fear of hell. above the grid of heaven. I worship Allah because He is worthy of being worshipped. This is the sort of worship that you want. That when they worship, they took heaven out of their eyes and they worshiped Allah. This is that true worship that you want to achieve. When you pray to Allah, Allah, I want something here, I want a car, I want this. This is selling your worship for bananas. That's what it means. You want to do that? This is Shaitan's way. Shaitan sold 6,000 years of worship for what? For a longer life. Shaitan had showed us that if you want to be me, then pray to Allah and ask something in this dunya for in exchange for your worship. And Allah has shown that if you are a believer, when you pray to Allah, do not sell it short. Do not sell it cheap. Raised iman cannot make worship so cheap, so inexpensive, so devalued, that dunya becomes the price of it. Now iman raises that and says that dunya cannot be the price of worship. The price of worship is greater than this. And that is what Allah is wanting, is ready to give you. Shaitan has taught us five things I've mentioned. Five things we learn from Shaitan. There are other things also, inshallah, I'll mention some more tomorrow. But Shaitan's existence has taught us in this idea of what it means. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper. وآخر الدعوان عن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات الله
اللهم صل على